This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Tomas Bombong Vesuto.
Yes, sir.
And back from Florida.
Back from Florida, that's right.
You have no tan, though. You're Italian. You're supposed to be dark as a berry right now.
I got a little Irish and German in me, too.
Oh, there you go. Much too much, obviously.
Not as much as Mr. O'Shea. But.
Anyway, Tomas, we're here on an open show tonight. Last week we were doing estate planning with Jeff Higdon. This week we're just doing an open show. So
yes,
this
sir.
Week we're going to leave it open to our listeners to determine what they want us to talk about tonight. And it can be anything dealing with personal finances, be it 401ks or IRAs or Roths or insurances or, what else is there? Retirement planning, elder care planning, estate planning,
college planning,
retirement planning. If it's a planning and it has to do with your personal finances, we're here to help you and answer your questions. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Yep.
And considering the minimization of traffic out there today, I would assume that we're going to have a hard time finding people that are listening tonight and are willing to call in because, normally it's a lot of jammed up cars on the highways.
Yep.
They got time to call in and they feel like calling in. But sometimes when you have these slow traffic days, that's when things tend to go slow. So anyway, we're on an open show tonight. You get to direct the conversation. Anything you want to ask, Social Security, that's always a big topic.
Sure.
Medicare, 410-922-6680 is the phone number if you want to call in and ask a question. There are many topics that we could talk about before people call in with whatever question they want to. One of them I was thinking about is home equity credit lines. We beat the table on all of our clients who have equity in their home, more than, let's call it, more than 30-40% debt to equity.
Yep.
So, in other words, if you're home's worth $300,000 and you have a $200,000 or lower mortgage, then we want you to consider a home equity credit line.
Right.
We don't want you to ever use it.
Right.
We just want you to have it
right.
as a tool in the tool belt.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people don't understand that, and they freak out, you know, when you say, oh, no, I can't do that, you know. And,
right.
and I don't like that. And so I'm not asking to take out debt. I'm just asking to get approved for a home equity credit line because the worst time to ask a bank for a loan
is when you need it.
Is when you need it. And that's not just a joke. That's the truth.
Sure, sure.
It's unbelievable
how
when you need it, they'll say, oh, well, we can't lend because you're going to be selling your house soon, and we got to do a bridge loan instead, and so forth. So, you know, you want to get approved for a home equity credit line. They don't cost anything, right?
They shouldn't.
You should never go to a bank that's going to charge you even $5 to get a home equity credit line.
Right.
And you shouldn't get a home equity credit line if they're going to charge you even $1 a year to keep it if you don't use it.
Yep.
You want a home equity credit line like the one we typically prefer. We refer people to Howard Bank,
and they don't
charge anything to get the home equity credit line, and they don't charge anything to keep the home equity credit line.
Yep.
I have one myself, and I didn't pay a nickel to get it, and I haven't paid a nickel to keep it, unless I use it. If I use it, then I start paying interest. Let me go to this caller here, Tom, and we'll be back. Jeff in Elkton, how can we help you?
Hello, I am a small business owner, and this year my family will spend $30,000 in health insurance premiums for my family of four. That's $2,500 every month. I'm trying to figure out the best way to get a tax advantage for that.
Well, do you have employees, Jeff?
I have 6 employees.
Do you provide medical insurance for all of them?
No, I can't afford to. We just give a small amount of money to them every month.
What kind of company are you?
We're an eye clinic.
No, I mean, what kind of entity? Are you a C Corp, an S Corp?
We're an S Corp.
You're an S Corporation. And it gets complicated, you know, because you do have to provide some form of program for your for your employees in order to get a deduction. One of the first things I would consider, Jeff, is making sure that you're going with a high deductible health plan, assuming that everybody in your family is healthy. And they don't have to be overtly healthy. They just have to be relatively healthy and carry a deductible of about $3,000, $4,000, and then fund an HSA, health savings account. Tom, what should his premium be if he had a higher deductible? You carry that family of four type scenario.
I do. I'm fortunate that we provide for employees, though. So
yeah, you get it tax deductible. But what's the general premium for your family of four? Isn't it about $1,800?
Yep.
With the deductible that you carry.
Yep. Yeah, and I've got five on ours. Yep.
Yeah. So one thing, Jeff, to consider is a high deductible with an HSA plan. And then see if there's a way that you can figure out how the money you're providing to your employees, that you could do some type of health plan where you're not paying all their premiums, but you're offering it to them with, the little bit of money you're giving to them tax-free. And that would hopefully open the door for you then with your accountant to deduct your premium.
I was having trouble because all girls in the house, they all had pre-existing conditions. So that's where it got complicated very quick.
Mm. Yeah, but you see, Jeff, though, you got to look at the math of the issue. If you've got a high deductible and that high deductible saves you $5,000 a year in premiums and your out-of-pocket risk is maybe $5,000 or $6,000, you're really in the same position. And if you do the math, you may find the high deductible with the reduced premium and then putting the money into the HSA tax-free, and you could put $6,900 in this year, mm-hmm. you could walk away a big winner, especially if you don't have as many medical expenses during the course of the year.
And who sets that up, an accountant or a broker?
You would go to a health a medical insurance company provider. And we use Silberstein and Company out of Timonium, and they work with small companies of your size, 3, 4, 5, 6 employees, and they work with companies of 1,000 employees. So mm-hmm. they have divisions that would take care of you if you consider working with them. We don't get anything for anybody we refer to. When we said Howard Bank earlier or Silberstein now, we only say it because we know they'll take care of you. And if you call me back and tell me that they're giving you any trouble, you let me know. We'll intercede for you, too.
Yep.
Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
All right, Jeff, you take care. Good call. Yep. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, now's the time to call in early, because they're the people who get the most time. But right now, I have to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee-only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com. All right, back with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tom Bumbong Vasuto is with me tonight, and we are on an open show, sir.
Yes, sir. 410.
Go ahead, tell
922-6680.
That is correct. You always say it's
410-922-6680.
There you go. And we do have one caller in line, but there are plenty of lines open if you want to call and ask a question. And that, again, is 410-922-6680. Give us a call and ask any question you want on personal financial planning, and we'll help you with it. We're going to Todd in Timonium. Todd, how can we help you?
Hi. Yeah, I had a question. My company holds some of our bonus.
Say that again.
Our company, when I get paid, my company holds some of our bonus in a deferred compensation plan.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Once I retire, it vests over a 5-year period. So once I retire, I have 5 years worth of vested compensation that comes to me.
Okay.
Is there any way to treat that as tax beneficially as possible? I won't be employed. I didn't know if there was a way to do like a SEP IRA or something like that to have it deposited into.
No. Okay. Now let me clarify, okay? So what you're talking about is when you get the bonus, they put it in a deferred compensation plan. You're with a private company or a publicly traded company, and this is over and above your 401k or any other pension plans they have, correct?
That's correct.
So that's called a non-qualified deferred compensation plan, and they fall under Rule 409A. And that's a very complicated and difficult provision to work with. And so really, the main tax thing you want to do with the deferred compensation, Todd, is make it taxable over 10 years, but only if you intend to get out of the People's Republic of Maryland. So in other words, if you intend to move to Pennsylvania or you intend to move to Florida or South Carolina, where the tax situation is much better than Maryland, you want a 10-year payout, because if you only have a 5-year payout, most companies understand that Maryland requires you to pay income taxes on that money earned while in Maryland and deferred. And if it's paid out for less than 10 years, they consider it compensation taxable in Maryland. So if you don't tend to leave Maryland, 5 years is fine. But there's nothing else that I know of you can do with that money unless there's some other monies you're earning when you retire that you could live off of this money coming in and then do something tax beneficial with new money you're making when you're retired.
Okay.
Did I make any of that clear? I confused myself almost when I said that.
No, I understand what you're saying. Thank you.
And Todd, you don't have a choice of the distribution structure? Like, did you choose 5 years, or is that just the one option?
So the way that it works is it vests, it's company stock that vests 20% a year over 5 years.
Okay.
So I use the word deferred compensation, and it sounds like those are important words that mean specific things. I'm not sure it's really
okay.
All
so
you might have something different. Yeah,
he could. Well, it depends. If he has real stock that vests 20% a year after he retires, that would be long-term capital gain.
Right.
But it could. It depends on if he did a Section 83B election or not. And if it's a phantom stock, mm-hmm. which is what I think it really is.
You're in a private company.
I believe it is a public company, but I believe it is a fan stock. It's a performance unit.
Right? It's a performance-based unit, you know,
right.
Sort of like we've seen with other employees
right.
in certain companies,
yep.
especially in the clothing industry. We see that a lot in apparel companies like Under Armour and Perry Ellis and so forth. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, would be deferred compensation. It would be taxable as wage income, but if it's only paid out over 5 years, Maryland's going to say, hey, Todd, even though you're not here, we still want income taxes on it.
Okay.
All right?
Yes, sir.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Buddy. Take mm-hmm. care. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. I have one caller online, plenty of lines open if you have a question. We're going to Josh in Pikesville. Josh, how can we help you?
Okay, so this isn't your normal call for money, riches, and wealth, but let's say you lost everything tomorrow. You were penniless. And I ask that because that's basically I'm penniless. Other than having a $13 an hour job that I can only work about 30 hours a week. What would you do to better your situation in the next year?
I have no idea. I have no idea what you're doing or where you're at or what your skills are, or your talents or, you know, and so forth. What would you do?
Well, I mean, I'm 60 years old, 61. I went back to school in 2008 to 2010 for computers. There's apparently an age problem in the computer industry because I have not been picked up at all. And so it's very disappointing. So at least I have a part-time job, but I don't know what field to begin to get into at my age or what to do to, you know, somebody could say, well, work as much as you can, and take $100 a week and invest it in blue chip stocks and in Roth IRAs. Okay, and that's the best that you're going to be able to do and retire. Or, you know, and try and max out your Social Security. Or open your own business and see how that goes. Or we're hiring, and so if you want a higher paying job, come work for us. I don't know. What do you guys have?
Without knowing who you are and where you're going and what your education is and your talents and you know, and so forth. It's a very difficult question to try to answer here on the show. There is no magical formula that you can take $100 a week and put it into blue chip stocks and, you know, and feel that 10 years from now you're going to be sitting golden. Anybody?
Oh, for sure. I was just throwing that out there as wild examples. I mean, I just...
Right.
I don't.
My wit's end.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. And, you know, I wished I had an answer for you. And there isn't an easy answer for the question that you're asking. You know, I guess I would want to understand more about the computer courses that you took. And is there some extra education that could put you in a position? Because I agree with you that sometimes people that are older are difficult to be picked up, but they're also computer industries and technology that are so in demand. They don't care who you are. As long as you have the talent, they're going to hire you, and they don't care what age you are.
The past since 2010, I have run into an age barrier, and I have just not been picked up at all. It's unbelievable. But, you know, and then I talk to people my age that have been in programming in other fields. I went into networking, which is routers and switches. And I have a certification from Cisco, which I earned in 2014. There's age discrimination in most of the industries today, you know, just some more than others. Apparently.
Yeah, you know, but switching is it's more the cloud and VMware and virtual and so forth, and virtual switching and so forth is the new horizon that is taking over the computer industry. We used to have all kinds of networks and switches in our company. Now we don't have a single one.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, you know, the cloud is something that is, I know, at least the companies I know that we're working with, they're constantly looking for people who can, you know, use VMware and know how to work with that kind of stuff and what's the Microsoft one that they use and so forth.
Yeah, Cloud Jumper and all these different things.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know, Josh. I just pray you have wisdom and come up with something that it's no longer a frustration for you and you have... You come up with a great idea yourself because I don't have one for you. I wished I did.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
Bye. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. If you want to call and ask a question, right now we got to go to traffic. We'll be right back. Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. That means you get to be the guest. You get to direct the conversation. You get to decide the topic that you want to go. And so far tonight, we've gone lots of different places. And if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680. Lines are open, so feel free to call in and ask a question.
You were talking about home equity lines, and there's a lot of confusion I find out there regarding the new tax laws and how that's impacting home equity lines and home debt in general.
Yeah, people think that just because you have a home equity credit line, that it's immediately not eligible for deductibility on your tax return. But the key to the home equity credit line being deductible or not deductible is, was the home equity credit line used in what's called acquisition indebtedness? Now, acquisition indebtedness is either the first time you buy the house
mm-hmm.
or when a substantial improvement is done. So let's say I take my home equity credit line, I put new windows in my house, and it cost me $15,000, and I use a home equity credit line check for $15,000 to put those windows in. Then that home equity credit line is mm-hmm. completely deductible because
right.
that's a capital improvement.
Right.
Now, let's say I take the home equity credit line and I say Johnny to college.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Johnny to college is not acquisition indebtedness.
Right. Right.
You know, even though he's expensive, he's not acquisition indebtedness. And you do not get a deduction
right.
for using a home equity credit line to send Johnny to college or to buy Johnny his first car, and it costs you $10,000 or $12,000.
Right, right.
You're not going to get a tax deduction for it. But, you know, there are times when it's still logical to use that home equity credit line rather than disrupt other assets to pay for
sure.
The acquisition of or sending the child to college or to buy a car or something of that sort.
Sure. Well,
it's
and with the new tax law, with the new tax law and the standard deduction increases, a lot of people aren't going to be getting any deductions anyway for their home equity or mortgage interest because they're going to be below the new standard deduction level.
Yeah, so your point is well taken that if you're limited to $10,000 in your state and local income taxes, most people aren't going to have medical deductions.
Right.
And so if you don't get a deduction for mortgage interest, or even if you do get a deduction,
right.
you still have to get over $24,000 as a married couple before your itemized deductions mean anything anyway.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's an interesting, scenario that you're working with under these new tax laws. But that's why it's always good to have all the tools in
right.
the tool belt.
Right.
And the home equity credit line is just one of many tools in the tool belt
exactly.
we want you to have as long as it's free. We're going to Gene in Columbia. Gene, how can we help you?
You were talking about sending Johnny off to college.
Uh-huh.
Some kids are born with the initials PI, permanent indebtedness. My question has to do with I'm retired, and I know what I paid in federal tax, not federal, but state tax this year. I know that Delaware has no sales tax, and the property taxes are much lower. Other than moving to New Hampshire or Maryland, which I don't want to, Florida, I want to stay close to my kids who are both in Maryland. What state real close is better for seniors than living in Maryland as far as state tax?
Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
Delaware's income tax rate is probably about, you know, there's deductions you're going to get and their lower tax rate overall. I think they're at about 6 and Maryland's at 8 when you throw in all the, or 8.5 when you throw in all the piggyback taxes. And they give you other deductions in Delaware that you don't get in Maryland. Delaware is a slam dunk when you throw the sales tax, the property tax reduction, and lower income taxes. The only other state that's anywhere remotely close that's a good state to retire to is Tennessee. I don't like Pennsylvania, even though a lot of people like Pennsylvania because they don't tax you on any of your retirement income. Where Pennsylvania hits you is their sales tax are as high as ours, their property taxes, school taxes, and all kinds of other taxes that are higher than ours. And if you die in that state, your children are going to pay 4.5% to inherit your assets.
All right. My income from now on will be RMDs, Social Security, dividends and interest, and Schedule D capital gains. I have a lot of investments. So having said that, is Pennsylvania still bad?
No, Pennsylvania would be fine if all you're concerned about is the income tax. But when you add the whole package up, you just have to come back to Maryland in the year that you're looking to pass away so that you don't get hit with that 4.5% inheritance tax that that Pennsylvania wants. If Pennsylvania would take away that 4.5%, I would send everybody and his brother north to Pennsylvania in retirement if they want to be nearby, or to Delaware. But that inheritance tax bites.
Mm-hmm.
I know that most states don't tax Social Security income, but are there any states other than Florida and New Hampshire on the East Coast that do not involve themselves in capital gains taxing?
Well, North New Hampshire, let me think. New Hampshire does, I believe, and so does Tennessee.
Well, I thought New Hampshire didn't have a sales tax or an income tax.
They don't have an income tax, but I do believe they tax dividends and capital gains. Don't quote me on that one, but okay. I know Tennessee does, but they don't tax on any other income. And it's low. It's a low tax on those types of things, too, so it's not that much money. So, you know, those are the best states on the East Coast are Tennessee. South Carolina is very good. There's a lot of deductions they give you down there in South Carolina. Georgia's a great state, too. Florida, Delaware, and New Hampshire.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Take care. I'm going to I'm going somewhere to Kathleen in Pasadena. Kathleen, how can we help you?
Drew, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to ask you for help as far as retirement programs. The company I work for had closed, and I did my 401k into a rollover, but I've only found temporary work consistently, but nothing with eligibility for a 401k program. Is there some sort of personal or individual account I can set up to put money towards my retirement?
So you're working, right?
Yes.
Are you working in a W-2 salary, or are you working in a self-employed status?
W-2.
W-2, but the company doesn't have any kind of company pension plan.
Correct.
Are you married or single?
I'm single.
So you can use an IRA that's tax deductible, or the Roth IRA that grows tax free. And you can put in up to $6,500 into either of those. The Roth, though, is limited to you not making more than $119,000, I think it is, this year. Do you make more than that?
No, I make less than $119,000. Thank you. You said an IRA that is tax deductible, or a Roth IRA?
Yes, but if your income's not very high, you should probably focus on the Roth IRA, not take the income tax deduction, but just let the money grow tax-free.
Yep.
Okay.
Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it feels good to do the traditional IRA and get that tax deduction, you really want to consider the Roth IRA, because the worst thing can happen to you, Kathleen, is you get into retirement and you start taking this money out, and all of a sudden your Social Security starts coming taxable and all this kind of stuff. In the long run, the Roth is going to work for you the best.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Great.
Well, we got to go to our last traffic break, and then we're going to come back and answer Dale and Brian's questions. Hopefully you'll hold on for us. We're on open show tonight, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic. All right, we're back. Money, riches, and wealth. Lines are jammed. You know, we always talk about this. Call early, and you get
more
maximum
time.
Yep. Dale in Millsboro, Delaware, how can we help you?
Love your show, guys. Do a good job.
Well, thank you.
Just want to let you know that Maryland has finally defeated me, and I recently moved to Millsboro, Delaware.
I don't blame you.
There you go.
Yep.
You know, between the salt tax and all that kind of stuff, and then they turn around and increase our taxes in the new tax law, you know? It might as well just rub salt in the wound.
Pun intended.
Yeah, the property taxes on the new house, or not a new house, but the house that I purchased.
Yeah.
$575.
Yeah, probably 10% of what you had here, right?
I asked the realtor if they missed a one or a two in front of that tax statement, but no, she said that's what it is. But
What were you paying in Maryland in property tax?
Actually, it wasn't too bad. It was about $1,750 in Harford County.
Yeah, but still, that's $1,000 a month. $1,200. Yeah, it's $100 a month less. No sales taxes and so forth. You never have to worry about it. You know, that's great. And you're probably, when you file your first income tax return, you'll see that it's a lower income tax rate than Maryland. So, you know, they make a lot of money in that 5 miles of 95 between Maryland and New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yep.
Anyway, buddy, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Take care, guys.
All right. Yeah, that's true, Chris. And he's also close to the beach, you know? Mm-hmm. So you can't beat that. Millsboro is a great little town.
Yeah.
We're going to Brian in Glen Burnie. Brian, how can we help you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm on the same path as the last guy that was just on there. But I got an answer for Josh. He was in his 60s. If he's still listening, I pray that he is.
Okay, go ahead.
He's computer qualified, but like CAD, learning CAD programs, Excel programs, things of that nature. I work for the railroad, America's Railroad. I'm not going to name them, but y'all can kind of guess who it is. CAD drawings need to be upgraded all the time on computers. And if he can get himself qualified on CAD drawing for, like, major, you understand what I'm talking
about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking about, like, 3D drawings with computers and so forth.
And prints, blueprints that need to be updated constantly, all the time. We've been dealing with this for a number of years, so more than 2 decades. And getting updated prints and drawings, and I'm just saying that.
Brian, what's really cool about CAD that you're talking about, and that is 3D printing is coming on, and they're constantly coming up with new designs, and that's exactly what they use to do 3D printing.
Yep, so it doesn't matter how old you are. You could be 75, 80 years old. If you're good at what you're doing, they're going to pay you a lot of money to update their prints for you, for them, as you know, and we need it bad. I'm telling you, it's a big time thing, and he should look into it big time.
Yep. So if he goes to CSX with CAD experience, it would be a good thing.
Absolutely, no doubt about it, and it's big money in it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling, and I do pray that Josh is still listening because we don't want him to be frustrated. Yeah. He sounds like a guy who really wants to find a job.
He wants to work,
and he wants to work. So we bless him in that regard.
Clayton, he'll see exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, good call. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Take care.
We're going to Bruce in Annapolis. Bruce, how can we help you?
Yeah, I got a close friend of mine. She's getting ready to get an inheritance.
Okay.
And it's like over $4 million.
Oh, that's good.
Does Maryland have an inheritance tax?
Well, first off, have you proposed to her?
Not yet.
Does Marilyn, is it coming from her parents?
It's coming from her grandfather.
Her grandfather, that's fine. And what state did he die in?
Maryland.
So a grandchild is an exempt person for inheritance taxes, but Maryland has an estate tax. And if the total estate that he had was greater than $4 million, in other words, if she had brothers and sisters who were also getting $4 million, then there is a good possibility that Maryland's going to take a nice, tidy hunk away unless there was some serious estate planning done by some very good, qualified estate planners a few years ago.
Right. And so she was asking, is there like a state she could use as a new residence to save some money?
No, because it's not the state that she inherits in. It's the state that the person died in who's transferring the money to her. Mm-hmm. And so Grandpa has already passed away in Maryland.
Right.
And Maryland, if there was no planning done for Granddad, then Maryland's going to put its claws into that estate and take 16% of everything over $4 million. And I'm assuming Grandpa died in 2018, not in 2017.
All right. Yeah.
Is that correct?
16%. He actually died in, it was in 15.
In 15?
15.
That's even worse.
But it was like she got so much back then, and now she's getting this lump sum.
Yeah, well, in 2015, it was even worse because in 15, we would have only had a $1 million estate exemption back then. Now we're at $4 million. But, you know, it sounds like...
Didn't they sell the estate at this point?
Well, it sounds like what possibly happened is that the lawyers had put use trust and so forth to keep it out of a state taxable situation. So maybe there's a good chance that the lawyers already did a good job for her, and she's not going to have to pay a lot of that money. That estate should be settled by now, and any taxes have already been paid.
Okay.
So she should get all the money tax-free.
She doesn't pay taxes.
She doesn't pay taxes.
The estate's paying taxes.
Yeah.
That's the confusing thing.
That's
Sometimes people think that when they get the money that they're going to be paying the taxes, but in reality it's done before she gets it. So by the time she gets it. Now, it is possible if she's getting money from an IRA or from other kinds of things where she was a beneficiary, she could have some tax due, but it all depends on the nature of the kind of assets that she's inheriting.
But the point Tom is making, Bruce, is that there's no tax to her. If they give her $4 million, she gets $4 million. Any tax has already been taken for Marilyn's inheritance or estate tax purposes before she gets the money. So she's good to go in that. And also, as Tom just pointed out, if there are any IRA assets that she's inheriting from Granddad that are tax deferred, then she might want to consider moving because Marilyn will want its income tax on that tax deferred withdrawals from that IRA for the rest of her life. If she goes to another state, she won't have to pay that. So there's a lot of planning that should go on. And there sounds like there was a lot of good planning for Grandpa. And now she needs to do the planning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's asked me to pick out a nice condo on the water in Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, nothing wrong with that, you know?
I want to just say you got a great show, and I really enjoy listening to you.
Well, we appreciate that. Thank you for your support. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Bruce. Good luck finding that engagement ring.
Thank you, yeah. Thank you very much.
He wouldn't just marry for money, Thomas.
No, not at all.
It sounds like they've been together a long time, you know?
Well, she needs a good fee-only advisor that's going to give her unbiased advice, that's a fiduciary, looking out for her best interests.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah.
So what's coming up next week?
Well, we have another attorney coming in, but it's going to be about family law and divorce law.
Are we talking Farrier Stillman?
We are indeed.
One of my favorite family law lawyers, Farrier Stillman.
Yep.
And so we're talking family law, and that means that it could be divorce planning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a difficult situation going on where there's a split in the marriage, Farrier will be here to help and answer some questions for you. But if you just have, issues with, children, something's happening in the, maybe you've already been divorced and there's a custody fight over who gets the children.
Yep.
You know, these are the kind
of things Farrier
will be able to help us with.
That's
so we'll be back here next week, Thomas, with Money, Riches, and Wealth. But for right now, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.